In the early days of the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season, few could have imagined what lay ahead. June had barely turned the calendar's page when an undercover monster stirred far out in the Atlantic. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, on June 28th, a tropical cyclone swirled to life. But this was no ordinary storm. Fueled by unusually warm ocean waters, it grew fast. Within hours, it had a name, Hurricane Beryl.
In the last few days of June, scientists noticed a tropical storm brewing in the Atlantic. They called it Beryl. And in just a couple of days, they watched as Beryl transformed into a monstrous Category 4 hurricane.
This is the earliest Category 4 hurricane that we've ever had in the Atlantic.
The strongest hurricane on record in the month of June.
That's reports from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. But by June 30th, this once small system roared into history books as the first ever Category 4 hurricane to form in June, breaking records.
Hurricane Beryl hits the Caribbean islands as a Category 4 storm. It is the earliest hurricane on record to be this strong. Caribbean countries, including Barbados, Grenada, and St. Vincent, are under hurricane warnings.
A dangerous Category 4 hurricane is threatening parts of the Eastern Caribbean. Hurricane Beryl has regained some strength over the weekend before making landfall in the region. And now forecasters say there has never been a recorded Atlantic hurricane that became so powerful.
Hurricane Beryl made landfall near Grenada early Monday as residents on the Caribbean island hunkered down in their homes.
The state of emergency remains in place. It is for your own safety.
That deadly and now record-breaking Hurricane Beryl. The storm is now headed towards Jamaica after roaring through open waters as a very powerful hurricane. Beryl made landfall in Grenada. We know at least six people so far have lost their lives.
Beryl didn't stop there. By July 2nd, it became the earliest Category 5 hurricane ever recorded, with winds reaching a devastating 165 miles per hour. Some Caribbean islands were in its direct path. According to First Alert Hurricane, there were Grenada, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Barbados, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Cayman Islands, and Belize. Starcom Network News visited Union Island, a part of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, after the storm. The devastation was staggering. Roofs torn away, debris everywhere. Those who survived edged with resilience and loss. But in the midst of despair, help arrived. Several countries stepped in to assist the devastated islands, providing emergency supplies, medical aid, and the promise of support on the long road to recovery. This is more than just a story of wind and water. It's a story of survival, resilience, and of communities standing strong against nature's fury. I am Tanisha Rokio. Join us as we explore what it means to survive Beryl, the road to recovery. As we prepared to set sail on July 5th on board the Leonard C. Banfield, the urgency of the mission was palpable. At the Bridgetown port, Starcom Network spoke with Superintendent Eldine Henry, Staff Officer Plans at the Regional Security System, who explained the gravity of the operation.
This particular mission is a humanitarian assistance and disaster response mission where security forces are going in to provide support to the affected member states to assist in their recovery in the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl. We have 25 police officers heading down to St. Vincent. That contingent is comprised of 15 police officers from the Royal Police Force of Antigua and Barbuda and 10 police officers from the Royal Civil Police Force.
Superintendent Henry emphasized the critical role these officers would play, drawing on their experience and resilience to support the Royal St. Vincent and the Grenadines Police Force.
They need to be flexible and innovative on the ground. The situation is not going to be ideal. It's not going to be five-star treatment. So they need to be able to withstand the hazards and the discomforts of the situation without complaining, because as members of the units who are part of this deployment, primarily special services unit, when they go through basic training, they are put through situations which forces them to endure arduous situations. So these individuals would have had a background in training that would allow them to continue to perform under strenuous conditions.
Staff Officer Plans at the Regional Security System, Superintendent Eldine Henry.
Surviving Barrel, on the ground with the Barbados Defense Force.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl's devastating path through the Caribbean, regional solidarity has been swift. Among those answering the call was the Barbados Defense Force, part of the CARICOM Disaster Relief Unit. On the ground in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Colour Sergeant Henry Stolt.
We have made up a contingent of the CARICOM Disaster Relief Unit, where that we'll be within St. Vincent and the Grenadines to provide humanitarian relief. The team consists of roughly 6 persons, and our main focus will be to help establish communications and also provide that outlook to pass the necessary supplies on. So it's basically a unit that is self-sufficient and also catalogues and helps the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Well, you made mention of the supplies just now. Would you be able to tell me what exactly were the supplies that you guys brought from Barbados to St. Vincent to assist the island?
So mostly on this trip was what we were considered to be hygiene kits. So we're looking at things like wipes and diapers and those sorts of things, personal hygiene.
Colour Sergeant Henry Stout. Hurricane Beryl didn't just pass through Union Island, it devastated it. Homes were destroyed, lives were lost, and an entire community was left struggling to survive. What was once a thriving island is now a scene of heartbreak and resilience. Sergeant Orlando Collins of the local police force takes us inside this reality where hope and hardship collide.
Hurricane Beryl will have passed through Union Island. It's total devastation, so we could say at least 98% of houses have been damaged. We have house roof blown off, and so there's no electricity, no water. We have no businesses, no shops. So basically, there's nothing basically here. In relation to the floods, we have 4 recorded deaths in relation to the floods, two other deaths unrelated so far. That is what has been recorded. A lot of persons have evacuated via ferry and they have taken refuge up in mainland St. Vincent, basically.
Yeah, and there will see some persons here too as well on the island still. These are the people that decided not to leave.
Yeah, some persons decided to stay for various reasons. So there are still persons on the ground. So from time to time, you have vessels coming in with food and other aid to assist them, water and so to assist them. So the persons that we are seeing is persons decide not to leave. No electricity, none whatsoever. So there is no data connection. So if you want data, you have one specific area, that side, who has their own generator and everything that they assist us with, or whatever data that we need to make communication other than outside.
So you're on the ground, you see the devastation. Yes, what assistance do you require?
Well, first and foremost, we need assistance in terms of search and rescue, and then other than that, we need assistance in getting back on track, cleaning and food for persons who are still on the ground, basically. So we have different agencies who are presently on the ground. They are providing aid in terms of communication, looking to set up camps to assist in search and rescue, and a lot of other different things.
That's police officer in charge of Union Island, Sergeant Orlando Collins.
Surviving Beryl. Voices from the storm.
When Hurricane Beryl struck Union Island, survival became a fight against nature's wrath. Homes were torn apart and lives were changed forever. These are the voices of those who lived through that nightmare.
Like I was in the back room, and when I look, I see the whole roof gone. And I had to run in a cupboard, me and my son, to shade ourselves. The time the weather was passed, we come outside. I saw the whole of Union Island was destroyed. It's like about 4 house roof is standing. It is totally devastated. I cry because when you look at it, what we can do? We can't do anything, you know? It's totally devastated. I never see things fly like that yet. Bed fly out the house. It totally devastated. I didn't really prepare. I didn't prepare for that because I know hurricane does come, but you know, it don't be that bad.
Well, I was home. I didn't come out to sell that day. Because they said the weather going to be serious. And I lie down and I feel the galvanized start shaking and dust blowing in the house. And I get up and I start looking around. And then I run in the bedroom and I realize the galvanized start lifting. And I run inside and pick up the mattress off the from the front and haul it in the bedroom. When I get in the bedroom, hold the front went, the house went. Then the front door went. Then the bedroom roof went. And I in the toilet. I spent 2 days and two nights in the toilet. It was terrible. No connection. I went to get a call, just to call my train, but I didn't get through. So they don't worry.
This is my third experience with the hurricanes, and this one actually the worst. I believe it didn't come just like that. It came with a tornado. The island has actually gone through for a couple of years. I get injured by my wine glass, you know, but I am diabetic, and right now they won't kind of infect it. We evacuate our house the day before, and it's a good thing we have done that, because if we didn't do that, we'd have died in the house, because the house actually gone in.
Kelly, all the houses on the island got destroyed, all the houses, even my house, but half of my roof went. I'm living in water right now. I'm living out of like garbage bags and boxes and so, and water. It was terrible. It's the worst I've ever seen. It's the worst. I've never seen anything like this before. It passed like maybe after 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, about that time. I was home, and then as it started getting a little bit later in the afternoon, it started really get powerful. Me and my kids were in the house, and then my daughter said, Mom, let's get out. I said, just hold on a minute, because the wind is too strong and we can't get out now because it's too strong. So we did, and then our bathroom roof started to go. Then the back room roof started to go. And I said, no, let's go. So we had to run by our neighbor. We are still by our neighbor now and then. Sometimes we sleep, sometimes we go home. But it was really bad, really bad. For me, that was not like a hurricane. Because when it started and I looked through my window, I saw the wind like it was coming like four different directions. It was coming this way, it was coming that way, it was coming there. It was four different directions. And one of my neighbor has like a pig pen on the other side. And I saw the pig pen fly in the air. And to be honest, I can tell you, I thought I saw those pigs fly, honestly, because they were like on their feet up in the air going. It was really, really scary. I was so scared. I thought, well, that was the end of us. That was the end of us. Because when we came out of our house to run to the neighbor, our road was already blocked with all kind of debris. Galvanized, everything was in the street. So we had to get over this galvanized, throw the children over a wall, and we jump over to get to rescue. It was really bad.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl, the people of Union Island struggled not just with the physical devastation, but with the unequal distribution of aid. Residents on Union Island expressed frustration, desperate for supplies they need to survive. A resident told Starcom Network News he wants a more organized approach to distribution.
A lot of this came and we're not going to get any. We're in a position in Ashton Valley and they hardly pass our way. We have to come in Clifton to get some things, what we need. And we need people to come, you know, all over the island. Right now we're in a very much distress and every one of us need help, you know. We cannot be giving some and get. You know, with all the generators, I give every house, like every, not every house, but every village could get one, that everybody could get a little phone charge and stuff like that. It will be appreciated by it, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's only some people getting the majority of stuff. And then some of them is coming down on the boat from St. Vincent, take this stuff and go back up to St. Vincent with it. And that is not fair, you know? Somebody got to step in and see how they can work out things with us.
In the wake of Beryl, the challenge isn't just surviving the hurricane, but surviving the chaos that follows. While many residents of Union Island chose evacuation to the mainland following Hurricane Beryl's devastating impact, some decided to stay, determined to rebuild their lives amidst the destruction.
So why did you decide to stay on the island?
Well, my business place mash up with the weather. So I really say I'm going to go to St. Vincent in a while next week. See what could be done.
So what's the next step for you?
Well, I still got a little cigarette business going on, but all my shoes and snacks and clothes, that when people come and take what they want to take after the wind blow.
The reason why I decided to stay, I am trying to clean up the place. They gave us a tarpaulin so you can spread it over, because my son would be here. But I will go to St. Vincent next week, but I'm trying to wash out my clothes because everything is wet down. The machine is gone, the gas bottle, you know, it's total devastated. I never see things fly like that yet.
A lot of people live in the island, but I'm not going to leave because I lose everything, but I'm still safe. You know, my family is safe and I'm safe as well. You know, and we're seeking a lot of help right now. You know, we're asking for if we could get a generator and such like that, you know, that can help us out in the future.
I know several persons have already been evacuated and you're still here. Can you tell us why you decided to stay?
Well, I have a lot of cleaning to do, and I don't think I want to move to go anywhere, because if you move to go to St. Vincent, you're coming back to this still. Nobody's going to clean your house for you. So I am doing a lot of cleaning right now. So if anybody come to help me to fix my roof, I'm there. I don't want to move. If things get worse, then. But right now, for now, I'm not going anywhere.
If I go to St. Vincent, I have no one in St. Vincent to stay. So I got to stay right here and build back my life together with my family and get a little house that could go by and everything.
Their decisions reveal the complex realities of disaster preparedness, where emotional ties and systemic challenges can leave people vulnerable in the face of nature's fury. Union Island residents are no strangers to storms, but Hurricane Beryl was unlike anything they had experienced before. Many admitted they didn't prepare for its devastating impact.
I didn't really prepare for that, because I know hurricane does come, but you know, it don't be that bad.
So did you prepare when they said that Hurricane Beryl was...
No, I really didn't prepare. I lost my table the evening, because I sold the evening, the Sunday evening. I had a good day. I was selling and having a good time. And as usual, Vincent John style. But it came the night after 10, 11 o'clock, and it was very dreadful. It woke me up. And I went right through till the morning. Yeah, I witnessed it. I was up in Anita downstairs, and the water floated and moved my bed. It was serious.
Surviving Beryl, the road to recovery in St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
The devastating impact of Hurricane Beryl on the southern Windward Islands has set the stage for a monumental recovery effort. Among the hardest hit areas were Union Island, Kanawan and Myro in the Grenadines, along with several communities on mainland St. Vincent. Director of the National Emergency Management Organization, NEMO, Michelle Forbes, detailed the extensive measures taken since the storm struck.
And we have mounted a relief effort since then, since about the Tuesday, Wednesday, when we could have gotten to Union Island, Kanawan, and Myro, the three most affected islands. So, and of course, we have about the third. Roughly, we're still doing assessments at the moment, so the numbers may not be exact. Mainly on the south part of St. Vincent, we have had damage, but we have also had damage in the north windward, northeast of the country, a little bit in the northwest, so multiple communities. So we have had to provide relief for all the communities, including the southern Grenadines, which are the hardest hit. We, as a government, have employed through the Ministry of Urban Development daily ferries down to the Grenadines to take supplies, to take key technical personnel to do the assessments. We have already deployed persons through RAGSA on the ground to start looking at assessing the cleanup operations, where we're going to put all this debris, because debris management is a big issue. The power company has already gone down to do their own assessments on what it will take to put back power, if it can, within whatever time frame, on all of the islands. And we have various agencies of government, regional, international, who are on the ground doing various assessments, also to support St. Vincent and the Grenadines in the relief efforts. So we continue to supply the islands with things like tarpaulins, cots, water, and cleanup supplies to actually start them being prepared. Not really being prepared, but start to get the cleanup and get back. I can't say normalcy, because the islands have been devastated. So we don't know when that is going to... It's going to take a long time. Recovery is going to take a long time, and we have to recover and build well with all of our agencies.
Ms. Forbes urged the public to take hurricane preparedness seriously, as weather systems become more intense and unpredictable.
And now you see the impacts, because we know with the climate that has already changed, the more intense systems we are seeing, they're developing so rapidly that something can start off as a storm and reach you as a Cat 5 within 24 hours. And we saw that coming. We have seen it over the last few years, and we have been trying our best to get that information to the public to say, hey, we need to be prepared for these extreme events. So we continue to spread the word of getting ready, regardless of whether it's a hurricane or an earthquake or whatever hazard, because we're in a multi-hazard environment. And the thing is, this is just 1 month into the hurricane season, and we haven't even reached a peak of the season yet, so you don't know what is to come. So I mean, everybody still think that God is a Vincentian, right? The God is a Trinity and God is a Virgin. right? God is Elohim, you know. But the whole thing is that we have to try to be prepared as much as we can, because we don't know when we are going to have these adverse events, and the impact is so significant. There's loss of life, loss of livelihood. You lose everything that you have worked for all your life. You know, so persons really need to take it seriously. We need to focus not on the center of the storm. I think a lot of persons focus on the center of the storm. So they may see it, okay, going closer to Grenada or going through Nanaimo and Carrick, not thinking, hey, it's a big storm. The center extends of the hurricane extends of about 35 miles in this case, but the storm force winds 115 miles. So we need to focus on the entire system and also on the hazards of all these cyclones. You have rain, you have winds, and you have the seas. These are the three main hazards that you have coming off. After that, you can have the flooding and so on. The three main hazards that you find with the cyclones, and we have to focus on what they can do. When you hear a category 4 system, anything above a category 3 is catastrophic winds. And you may even have tornadoes embedded within them. So we have to be prepared for any adverse event, and especially during the hurricane season, as we already have feeling and the impacts of climate change.
That's Director of the National Emergency Management Organization, Michelle Forbes.
Surviving Beryl. Resilience in Rhythm Carnival amidst the chaos.
While Hurricane Beryl left parts of the Grenadines reeling from its devastation, the spirit of carnival in St. Vincent and the Grenadines pressed on. Ricardo Adams, chairman of the National Carnival Development Corporation, told Starcom Network that despite the storm's impact, the island forged ahead with its beloved Vinci Mass celebrations. Mr. Adams explained that carnival preparations were already in motion before the hurricane struck, with stakeholders working tirelessly to ensure the events could continue. Visitors had already arrived and flights were booked, making it clear that cancelling carnival would result in significant financial losses.
While we had begun the carnival celebrations, our actual festivities over the 10-day period, we had to curtail that due to the passage of Beryl. And since then, we've had to basically put in place an amended and abridged Vinci Mass program. And we've been working with the law enforcement officers. We've been working with all the stakeholders to try to deliver what we could of a Vinci Mass experience for not only our nationals, but our visitors who were already on the island or on their way to the island. We've had so far some pretty good shows, and are working with the restricted hours that have been given to us by the police services. And in fact, we just had the completion of our Juve. And so far, we found that people have been coming out, enjoying themselves.
Why did officials still decide to continue with the Placido Carnival amidst the devastation?
Well, there's been a significant split in positions on the issue. And I think the position from the government of St. Vincent and the Grenadines and the Carnival Development Corporation has been basically, we have already invested significantly in the carnival product. We were actually into the carnival when Beryl hit, and there were a number of persons already on island, and we thought that it would be an opportunity for us to go ahead with the festival and utilize the festival as far as possible as a conduit, first of all, for the people who survived and came through Beryl and were able to come through it with some frustration, to be able to come and still experience and expose the culture of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And secondly, to be able to use it as a conduit, as I said initially, for us to be able to generate some much needed funds in the country to be able to assist with the restoration efforts.
He also highlighted the resilience of St. Vincent's people, noting that while the Grenadines bore the brunt of Beryl's fury, the mainland was spared enough to host the festivities. Mr. Adams said the carnival events did not only entertain, but also served a higher purpose, helping to raise much-needed funds for those affected by the disaster.
We've been using the events as conduits for people to also channel relief efforts, because the Grenadine Islands have been much more hard hit than the mainland of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So we've been trying to utilize the private promoters as well as the Carnival Development Corporation, trying to utilize the events that are being held as conduits for people being able to make donations. And so far, that's been working. We're going ahead with our Monday afternoon T-shirt jumper band. From all reports, the bands are seeing quite good sales. In fact, a number of them are sold out. And then we have our Mardi Gras celebrations. And hopefully we can conclude the festivities. We've had to drop one or two events or delay them until later on in the year. But so far, we've been able to get through the majority of our programmed events with a few challenges in terms of time and schedule changes. But we're pretty happy with what has been happening so far.
That was Ricardo Adams, chairman of the National Carnival Development Corporation in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Despite the storm, Vinci Mass became a symbol of unity, bringing the nation together in celebration while supporting those in need.
Rebuilding hope and supporting recovery in the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl.
It is important to reflect on the recovery journey since Hurricane Beryl struck in July. The devastation left behind by Hurricane Beryl has left many residents of Grenadine Islands struggling to rebuild their lives. Months after the storm, the scars remain evident still. Many families are still without a permanent home, relying on the generosity of others to meet their basic needs. To understand where we are now, just before the new year starts, Starcom Network reached out to Father Vibert Stevens from the Grenadine Island, Kanawan.
What I can say right now is that many of our people, especially on the island of Kanawan, Mairo, and Union, are still without their home. We have persons from our island who have reached out. So, for instance, there's an expatriate who has invested a large sum of money through the government, yes, but he is there and he's supervising the financial and part of it to help persons restore their roofs and try to make their home livable. Not everyone is in their home. A very small percentage of homes have been restored, and we still have people who are living by others and hoping that by next year they will have some kind of restoration. Kanawan people, they are very enthusiastic and fighting people, and they have worked many years to build their homes and to see their homes destroyed in just one moment. This has been a very shocking experience for them. People from overseas are sending foodstuff and has sent foodstuff and has sent financial assistance, but you know how far that can go. We are speaking about people who have to start building from scratch. Now, the gentleman in Kanawan who has helped with the roof has done a tremendous job by helping some people to have their roof. But there is more than roof to be done. You have your roof, you can go into your house, you wouldn't get wet and so on. But people, windows and their tiles and the doors and all of these things have to be worked on. So we are hoping that the government of St. Vincent can really step in to try to meet the people, not just using the goodwill of persons from the island itself who are reaching out to the people, but from the copper of St. Vincent of the Grenadines, from the money that was received. The people of Union Island have been crying out and asking for help. Carrico is another place. Carrico belongs to Grenada, Carrico and Kitimatnik, and they have gone a very far path in advance in restoration, but our islands are still behind. Water is a problem. A lot of people who have like plastic tanks, those tanks are destroyed. We depend on the rain for water. There is no running water. We don't have that there in Kanawan. So people have tanks that are built, but most people have this plastic tank. So, you know, with the moving of the wind, all of these things are destroyed. All of these have to be restored. Recently, we had a lot of rain coming on the island, and the island was just flooded. You're facing disease, mosquitoes, people getting sick. All these things are still happening. So I want to thank God for the help that we received. I myself have received some help for mommy from Barbados, not only in foodstuff, but in finance. But of course, we are talking about a house, homes that are destroyed, full of water. You have lost your fridge, your stove, all the equipment within your home. Everything's gone. Houses have to be rewired, just like my mother's house has to be rewired. And this is what the problem is. So everything is not well there yet.
The passage of time has brought new challenges for many. The early wave of support has dwindled, leaving critical needs unmet.
our people are still optimistic for Christmas. People been going around and serenading and bringing a sense of joy to others, and they're still doing it. That is how they're enjoying themselves, going to each other's home, sharing what they have in spite of what is happening. So there is still a need after a hurricane passed, after a month or so. Do you know that everybody forgets about what happened? They start thinking about something else. So the help that once received, like for instance, the people had food, they were given food for a couple of months, and then the Red Cross, I can't remember the name right now, but those who get food no longer there. Food in St. Vincent, very expensive. The government did that. Why is that? For the transportation of things from St. Vincent to the Grenadines and for people, the government provided free transportation, and that has helped tremendously for a lot of people. But we have to go further than that. People need to be restored and be given a sense of dignity and feel that they are wanted and they are loved by others and so on. Not a halfway love or halfway giving, but thank God everybody is not like that. Everybody is not like that. So there are persons in the government who are trying to reach out to people, but more could be done financially and also in terms of labor to help the people restored. Too many homes are still destroyed. Too many homes are still not touched in Canwan, in Mairo, and in Union Island. And I appeal for that continuous help.
That's Father Vibert Stevens from the Grenadine Island, Canwan. Starcom Network also reached out to the director of the National Emergency Management Organization, or NEMO, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Michelle Forbes. Here is an update on the rebuilding and recovery efforts on the way.
Well, in terms of recovery, the various sectors have their own recovery programs going now that we are in this phase, so Ministry of Housing, etc. But what we are continuing to do from the NEMO Secretariat, we continue to support supplies for the Grenadines in terms of we have established one kitchen in Union Island, one community kitchen in Mairo, and we continue to support those kitchens that feed the general population, vulnerable people on those islands. We have now moved into the social phase where we're supporting those homes that would have lost appliances, and they have now been those that are repaired, and that there were lost appliances, mainly fridges and stoves. We are now in that phase where we're supporting those families that have moved back into their homes after repairs and those items were damaged. So that's what we are doing, but we continue to support the Grenadines weekly in terms of water. We continue to support in water because most of their water is in terms of rainwater harvesting, so bottled water, food supplies for the community kitchens that is used to really feed the vulnerable population. We still have one shelter, one main shelter activated, two shelters in Union Island are activated, and 10 on mainland that are activated. So we have a total of just around 500 persons still in shelters that we continue to support. But most of the recovery now are being dealt with by the various sectors, Ministry of Housing, etc.
That was Director of the National Emergency Management Organization in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Michelle Forbes, who gave an update on the ongoing rebuilding efforts. In July, Hurricane Beryl didn't just disrupt lives, it changed the course of history for many people in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. What seemed like an unstoppable force of nature tested the resilience of families, communities, and entire nations. But while the storm may have passed, what it left behind was far more than destruction. It left behind a shared will to recover, rebuild, and rise. In the months that followed, the real story began to unfold, not one of loss, but of determination. From the tireless efforts of those who kept shelters open, to the hands that worked day and night to restore homes, every action has been a declaration of hope, a promise that no matter how severe the storm, the heart of this community beats stronger with every challenge faced. As we close this chapter, we recognize that the journey is far from complete. There's still much work to do, but we have seen what can happen when we choose not to look back, but to move forward. Through the sweat and tears and the shared struggles, the people of these islands have given us more than just stories of survival. They have given us lessons in resilience, in unity, and in hope. The road to recovery may be long, but with every step, the promise of a better tomorrow grows stronger. This is not the end of Surviving Beryl. This is only the beginning of what's to come. I am Tanisha Rockyer, and you've been listening to Surviving Beryl.